We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, hello, Redemption Church. How are you doing? That's all right. We serve a limitless God who can do all things. Let me ask you again. How are you doing today, Redemption Church? I'm doing great. God's providing all my needs according to His riches and glory. I am doing wonderful. Welcome everybody to Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt. I welcome everybody in the room and everybody watching or listening online. Hello to you as well. If you're ever anywhere near Plano, Texas, come out and worship with us. We're in the final week of our Limitless series. Our God is limitless, right? Amen. And you are made in God's image. God has made you with limitless potential. He's placed limitless power inside of you. You can do anything. That's the truth. And however, over the past 2 weeks, we've looked at behaviors and habits that can place limits on your life. Quick review, we talked about the comparison trap. If you compare yourself to the house, remember the house? A big dude. Or if you compare yourself to the mouse, you'll just end up limiting yourself. There's actually one person that you can limit, that you can compare yourself to that's healthy, and it is who you were yesterday. Compare yourself today to who you were yesterday and get a slight edge on who you were yesterday. Be that much stronger of a person. That will lead to limitless success. And then last week we talked about a double-minded trajectory. That is when we have our goals and our dreams up here, but then today in our behavior, we go in a different trajectory. That's a double-minded trajectory. It will always take us from our goals. We will never achieve what we could achieve if we don't do something today. One of these double-minded behaviors is procrastination. Anybody remember what procrastination looked like last week? Y'all remember what that looked like? That looks a little bit like this. Day after day after day after day. Uh-oh, here's the deadline. Boom. Do it all in one day, all right? That is limiting on your life. Procrastination eats time. And time is one of the things that God has given us that is not limitless. Amen? Amen. All right. Today I want to talk to you about the dreaded plateau. Look at somebody and say, plateau. You know what a plateau is? Anybody know what a plateau is? We're going to be talking about that today. I want you to stick with me. All right. You see, you're working and everything starts off good, right? You go back to the gym. You go back to school. You start the relationship, and, you know, days are happening, and some days are better than others, but every day you're making some progress, right? And things are just so good, and you're like, oh, my goodness, our goal's up here. We're going to be there if we just don't give up. And then suddenly something happens, and you just stop paying attention, and then you just go this whole time without any progress. And then something happens at the end of a plateau. What happens? Decline, right? What happens here? Well, in working out, you go to the gym. It's the new year. You're working hard. You're doing really good. But something happens along the way where you are not having the success you were having. You are even having effort here, but you are not having success here. And what happens here? This is usually when they look back and they realize, wait, I haven't been making progress, and they give up. A plateau usually ends with someone giving up. Do you understand what I'm talking about today? All right. People think, why even bother with all this effort? And so then they quit, all right? A plateau is a prolonged period of time with effort, but no success. Maybe that really speaks to you today. Maybe you look at areas of your life where you've had prolonged effort, but limited or no success. Raise your hand if you've ever experienced a plateau. Can we just be honest in the house? Everybody, hand is raised. Facebook, YouTube, I expect you raised your hand too. You can experience a plateau in any area of your life, like your health, your finance, your career, your relationship. The question is this: what do you do when what used to work no longer works? What do you do when what used to bring joy, when what used to bring home the money, when what used to be enough and fulfillment for you, when what used to make the pounds come off, when what used to make the grade in school, what happens when you hit that point where it is no longer enough? What do you do then? I've been in some classes. I remember Miss Spin. If you are still out there, Miss Spin, the chemistry teacher, Waco High, 10th grade. There was something happened. This was my first semester. I was doing so good, and I don't know what happened, but she went to a secret area of the periodic table that I have just no idea where it is, hidden behind the noble gases. Which I was a 10th grader. Anytime someone said noble gases, it was pretty much a joke already. All right, guy humor. All right, so I was doing so good, but something happened in that middle semester. I hit a plateau where everything suddenly was hard, and I barely got out of that class alive. It was the worst class in the history of all classes for me. It was the lowest grade I ever got in any class. I'm telling you, it was by the grace of God that I got a 69.9 in that class and didn't have to take summer school. All right, it happens, y'all. It happens. I could not, for the life of me, figure out what to do. My effort in the first semester was not enough in the second semester to make it through. And I was just a 10th grade kid. I didn't know what to do. You have to learn what to do. Be honest. You are in this plateau. That's the first stop. You got to be honest, all right? I want to tell you really quick that change busts the plateau. Say that real quick. Change busts the plateau. When what you are doing isn't working, it is time to change. So how can you change? I'm going to give you two simple things to change. More effort is number one. Sometimes that's not possible. But you got to at least think about it. Maybe I need more effort. Number two, different effort. Number one was more effort. Number two is different effort. I need to be open and transparent with you. I am an addict. Addiction problem. In fact, I have a drinking problem, a Coke problem, a Diet Coke problem. All right, are y'all okay with me? Still all right? Like, oh my gosh. No, let me tell you, do not look down on people with addiction. They are fighting something real, and addictions hide in all kinds of different ways that you can't control. Let me tell you, my Diet Coke addiction, I am thankful that I've never messed with other drugs, because I've had a hard time just beating a Diet Coke addiction. 2 years ago, I went back to the gym, and I saw instant results. I lost 25 pounds very quickly. I felt really good about myself. I felt really strong. I felt like I was really gaining grounds. I saw results. I liked how I started to look in the mirror. But this year, 2018, I started to notice, wait a second, you are no longer changing. You are not getting stronger. You are not losing inches where you need to lose inches. What is wrong? And so I thought about things. I tried to give more effort. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to push harder. I'm going to pop veins in my forehead when I lift weights. And that wasn't it. That wasn't it at all. And so I looked at my diet, and I really cleaned up my diet. I cleaned up every area of my diet. I looked at what I was eating, how much I was eating. I got out a MyFitnessPal app, and I'm like logging everything I'm eating like one of those people. Yeah, that was me. I'm over here at Connect Group going, oh my gosh, how many grams of salad is this? Like that was me, right? And it didn't help until I finally had to go, well, there is one area of my life, and it was like a come-to-Jesus moment. You ever have to have a come-to-Jesus moment with yourself? Where you had to look in the mirror and say, Chris Fluitt, there is one thing you have not changed. You still drink about 2 liters of diet soda every single day. Yeah, drinking problem, Coke problem, Diet Coke problem. I absolutely had it. It's really, really such a lie you tell yourself, because it's what kind of Coke? Diet Coke. I mean, it says zero calories on it. Who, just forget the fact that it's got false sweeteners that your body has no idea what to do with. Just put that aside. But I finally had to come to the place where I said, okay, I am working too hard to not see results in my life. I am working too hard to not have the success that I'm dreaming about. There is something in your life you've got to come to that place where you say, I am working too hard to not have the success that I want. All right? It would be one thing if I'm just giving half-hearted effort. It would be one thing if I was just kind of like pipe dreaming this thing but not really committed to it. No, I'm so committed to it. It's got to happen. So guess what, Diet Coke? You've got to go. This last Friday marks 3 weeks without diet soda. Pray, church. Pray for me. Pray. It's a real thing. It is a real thing, because there were times when I would get stressed and I would be like, oh my gosh, I want a diet soda so bad. Kids, go to your room. Like, it's a thing. But I'm working too hard to not see progress. I need to change. So I went to different effort there. All right? More effort, different effort, but I can already feel the change in my life, and I feel better for it. If you are in a plateau, you need to say to yourself today, I'm working too hard to not see progress. I need to change. First, you have to be honest with the plateau. You got to be honest. You can't change the problem until you're honest about the problem. We make excuses and they keep us in the plateau. You know, I can't help that people keep bringing donuts to work. Do you realize how rude it is not to eat every last donut that they bring to work? See, that's an excuse. It'll keep you right in the plateau. We make self-justifications to keep us in the plateau. You know, I said those awful things, and yeah, I did key her car, but you know, she deserved everything she got because of what she did in the past. I'm totally justified in keying her car. No, that's going to keep you in a plateau. It'll also get you arrested. Okay, don't do that. Blaming others instead of owning your problems keeps us in the plateau. I have trouble quitting smoking, but you know what? If you had my childhood, blame it all on your parents. No, sir. You got to be honest. You are in this plateau. You have been here for a while. This is a prolonged period of time without success, without progress. You are in this plateau, and it will take your effort to get out of it. You gotta be honest. Somebody say, be honest.
Be honest.
Here's another thing. This is expert right here. Spot it quickly. Spot it quickly. Be quick with it. Many people never beat the plateau because they don't recognize it. They spend years of their life in it. They never even realize it. They aren't paying attention to their trajectory. We talked about that trajectory, right? We talked about comparing yourself to who you were yesterday. So here you are today. Here you are yesterday. And you're comparing yourself. And then here's tomorrow. And if you aren't comparing yourself, if you aren't paying attention, you won't notice that you are flatlining. You aren't actively trying to get a slight edge over every day. That's what you want to look like, but that's what you look like. But you have no clue what you look like if you aren't spotting what you're doing and you aren't paying attention to who you were yesterday, all right? To change the plateau, you must spot the plateau, and we need to spot the plateau quickly. Not spotting the problem will cost you time. It'll cost you days, cost you weeks, months, years, right? Raise your hand if you are working too hard to not experience growth and success in your life. Raise your hand right now. That's good. I like to see that. That means you're working hard, all right? It's good. I want to show you a quick video to give you an extra point on this.
One of the main things, of course, in order to create size and to create muscle growth, which will sometimes the body will hit a wall. And what that basically means is that the body is saying, look, I know all your tricks. I know you're gonna start first with bench press. And then I know you're gonna walk over to the chin-up bar and do chin-ups. And then I know you're coming back to the bench press, and then you go to the chin-up bar and come back to bench press. I know that routine. I know exactly everything you do, and I am prepared for that. So you have to go and use the shocking principle. If the body and if this chest knows that I'm gonna start with 135 and then I go to 225 and do 275, I'm gonna go and start now with 315. And I'm gonna do 20 reps with 315. And then I'm gonna go and have the guys pull off plates. And then I have 225 left. And then I'm gonna do another 10 reps. And then I'm gonna have them take off another 45-pound plate, and then I have 135 left, and then I'm gonna go to do another 10 reps. Or maybe if I can, do 15 or 20 reps, and let's see if the pectoral muscle is used to that. And then all of a sudden you will find that your pectoral muscle is shaking after that, and you don't know what to do because it's cramping and it is being tortured, and it is in pain because you have now shocked the muscle.
Who can do an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation anyway? Can somebody say, shock the muscle? Get to the chopper now. All right. I want to talk to you about two things that will defeat, bust a plateau. We said that change busts a plateau. So I'm going to give you two steps to change and to grow. And we're going to look deeply into the Word of God at these two things. Number one is called the overload. Can you say overload? Overload. The things that used to work may no longer work because your life, your mind, your body has grown accustomed to the routine. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger said, right? The body knows what you're going to do. The body knew your routine. You were going to go do the bench press, and you're going to go do pull-ups, and you're going to do the bench press. And your body gets used to the routine, right? And so you have to shock the body. You have to shock the muscle. You have to shock it with new struggle, new intensity, and new dedication. You must overload the muscle to grow the muscle. That's how muscles work. Everyone say overload.
Overload.
We're going to look at Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 17. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Jump down to verse 24. "Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, 'I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief.'" Verse 25. "When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. 'You deaf and mute spirit,' he said, 'I command you, come out of him and never enter him again.'" Verse 26. "The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, 'He's dead.'" Verse 27. "But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up." Verse 28. "After Jesus had gone indoors," this is afterwards, "his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Looking back at verse 28, they asked the question, why couldn't we drive it out? These disciples had seen people healed, right? They had seen people delivered. They had seen Jesus do miracles, and they themselves had done miracles. Jesus sent them, and they healed people, and they saw miracles, and they handed out bread that miraculously multiplied, right? But now they had run into a plateau. Well, whatever they were doing in the past didn't work this time. You see the corollary. Do you see how this relates to a plateau right here? What worked in the past was not enough. I want to tell you, new level, new devil. Can you look at somebody and say, new level, new devil? If you want to go to new levels, you need to expect new devils. That's what's happening here. They ran into a devil that they could not cast out. If you expect to get stronger, then you must expect higher levels of resistance. We talked a few weeks ago about those Fisher-Price toy weights, right? They're really colored, and they like go up to 8-10 pounds, right? The really big house dude, Arnold Schwarzenegger, do you think he touches those weights very often? No, he needs more resistance than that, right? You want to go to new levels, then you have to move to higher levels of resistance. Can I tell you, sometimes God allows resistance to come into your life so that you will grow stronger through it. Now, that doesn't get too many amens, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Verse 29, Jesus says something. He says, this kind of what? Go ahead and say it. This kind of what? Devil. Devil. All my life I've read that as devil. This kind, and that's true. But why not this kind of faith? The scripture says this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. And I've always read this kind of devil. But how about this? This kind of faith. A higher level of devil, sure, but also a higher level of, say it, faith. Is required. This kind of devil requires a new kind of level of faith. See that? All right. This kind of faith comes from an overload of prayer and fasting. Do you see it? Do you understand? In the physical and in the spiritual, there is no growth without an overload. In order for muscles to grow larger and stronger, they have to actually be challenged. I have never grown muscles sitting on my couch and binge watching Netflix. Oh, I've always expected that to work. You know what? I'm about to work out. Get up from the table, go back to the buffet. Does that count as a squat rep? No, it does not. That's not going to work. No, you have to challenge your muscles. You actually have to tear down your muscles. The fibers in your muscles are actually shredded and depleted by the struggle. Some of you feel that way. Let me tell you, that's good news. That is depleting you. That's tearing you down. And we're going to talk about how you bounce back from that bigger and stronger. If you are in a plateau, I challenge you to overload with more effort. Say more effort. And overload with different effort. You plateau in school, all right? Study more intensely and study differently. Man, I could tell you some stories about that. I remember one year in college, I was in Denton, but I had a job in Houston. Yeah, it was crazy. I had a ministry job in Houston. So I left town on Thursday, and I actually begged and pleaded a guy not to count me absent. All right, hush, hush, please don't tell the University of North Texas. But I got in my car, right, and I found a different way to study. I recorded myself studying out loud, and then I put it on, burned it on a CD, and I listened to myself study all the way to Houston and back, and it was the most boring trip ever as I was just studying music history and listening to myself then study music history. But you know what? I aced the course. I made all A's that semester because I learned how to study differently, and I went to Houston. That was how I was able to make it through that semester and have money for the next semester. If you're plateauing in school, study more intensely, more effort. And if that doesn't work, look at some different effort. How about plateau in relationships? Relate more intensely. Be more honest. Be more open. Grow up, right? Be more intense in admitting your feelings that aren't healthy. And do it differently. How about you go to counseling? Talk to, bring your pastor in it. Some of y'all, that's like the scariest thing in the world. No, that's the best thing in the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, it is. Talk to God about it. How about that? Plateau in finances, plan and save more intensely. Plan and save differently. Plateau in your profession, all right, work more intensely and do it differently. Plateau in your health, exercise more intensely. Exercise differently. Plateau in your spirituality, well then pray, fast, study the word, worship. Do it more intensely and do it differently. Today was one of my favorite days in worship because my little five-year-old boy just knelt down here and started worshiping. And I'm like, I'm not going to miss out on this. I don't usually do this, but I just got down right there on my hands and knees and worshiped beside my five-year-old little boy. I worshiped differently today, and I felt something grow in there. I felt maybe breaking through a plateau in my little boy and in my life. More intensely and differently. I know I'm talking to Christians, and we got like little boxes called denominations, and we've got like, I was raised this way, and this is the Baptist way to worship. Then sings my soul, and we stand there really quick. All right, let me help you real quick. Okay, go ahead and do that, but try differently a little bit. Try. The Lord's not going to strike you with lightning if you just gave it one of these. If you just gave it one of these and just surrendered in worship and did something you never did before. Okay? More intensely and differently. Some of you have seen people worship and you go, I could never worship like that. Wrong, honey. You can absolutely worship like that and then some. Amen? Amen. All right, so don't be afraid to try new things. Can you be more intense in spiritual matters? Then do it. Can you try new things in spiritual matters? Then do it. Do it. Oh, I could never teach a Bible study. All right, I know exactly what you need to do next. You need to teach a Bible study. All right? Y'all got me on that? Does that make sense? Oh, man, you can do all things through Christ. Don't be bringing that junk up in here. Colossians 3:23 says this. This was actually one of our memory verses, right? Actually, sorry, this is our memory verse right now. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Whatever you do, what is that? That's different efforts. Whatever it is. Whatever that effort is, different efforts right there. Work at it with all your heart. What is that? More effort. Work at it with all your heart. Maybe you're doing something, but you have not done it with all your heart. Do it with all your heart. Give more effort. Give different effort. Number one, I told you, overload. You have torn down the weak muscles in overload. Growth happens after the overload in a section we call the reload. Look at somebody, say reload. You got an overload and then you need to reload. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. This is usually the part of the story everyone just brushes right over. We'll have it right on the screen for you in a second if you don't have your Bible. But 1 Kings 19. The prophet Elijah had been going through an overload. Oh yeah. He stood against an evil king and a queen, Ahab and Jezebel. He was in a 3-year drought that he actually caused. He was not popular with some people. Like, gosh, he caused it. He prayed it. God had him pray it, and God caused 3-year drought. Not easy, right? He depended on God's provision through widows. We have these stories of him going to widows' houses and baking cakes, and there's all kinds of interesting stories there, right? And then ravens fed him, and then there is the climax of this overload season. Elijah battled 400 prophets of Asherah and 450 prophets of Baal. Also, we call it Baal. If you're from Texas, you just say Baal. I think if you're Jewish, you say Baal. All right, 400 prophets plus 450 prophets equals a lot more than Elijah, right? 850 false prophets against the one prophet of God. He is outnumbered, he is outworked, he is overworked, and he is overloaded. Do you agree? He's outnumbered, he is overworked, and he is overloaded. Now, who won this showdown between one prophet of God and 850 false prophets? God won. God won. Elijah is on the winning side against these 850 prophets. But now look at Elijah after the overload. And this is always so surprising when you read these words here. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. Elijah was afraid. He just defeated 850 prophets. But Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. So now he left his servant. He is, say it, all alone, right? While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed. Oh, this is going to be good. He's going to pray. Oh, praise God. He's going to pray. Well, will he just figure out what the prophet's prayer is? He prayed that he might die. Oh, well. Oh. Great, huh? Right? Hey, prayer's not always the answer. Whoa. If you're praying like that, it's not always the answer, is it? Prayer's always good. You should always pray, absolutely. But you should also pray the right way. Do not pray to die. Okay? Have a little more faith than that. All right, so let's keep reading. He prayed that he might die. He says, I have had enough, Lord. He said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. All right, he is following an overload. And he is in need of a reload. He is following a overload. Say it. And he is in need of a reload. 1 Kings 19 and 5. Then he lay down under the bush and he fell what? Asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. Verse 6. He looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. This was a time of drought and there was a cup of water there, a jar of water, and there was food there. Y'all, I'm telling you, an angel cooked for Elijah. All right. Think about that. God's word always focuses on what's important. Do you agree? When you read the word of God and it focuses on something, it's because it's important. Verse 5 and 6 actually don't focus on the angel. You and I, we focus on the angel. We're like, whoa, what? An angel? What? We'd go crazy. We'd tell that story all the time, right? It was an angel. Cooked me bread. It was cool. Like, but this story doesn't focus on the angel. There is more focus on Elijah doing three things here. Sleeping, eating, and drinking. In fact, the angelic message here, the message that came from the Lord through an angel was, get up and eat. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat. The journey is too much for you. All right, a second time, the message from the Lord through his angel is exactly the same. Get up and eat. He adds this extra part. There is a journey ahead for you and it's too much for you. How many are aware that there's a journey ahead of them that is too much for them? Are you aware of that? There is a journey ahead of you. God has called you to such great things. He's put such desires and dreams inside of you, and they are too much for you and you alone. Even if you get a slight edge on every day, they are going to be too much for you and you alone. So guess what? You need to get up and eat. What a strange message from the Lord. What a strange message to hear from an angel. What kind of message do you think you would hear from an angel? Some of you have been praying, God, I want to hear your voice. But God, you would be really flipped out if he just woke you up in the morning and said, hey, go in there, make yourself an Eggo waffle and eat it. Like if you heard that, you'd be like, I'm not sure. I think I've lost my mind, Pastor. I think the Lord told me, eat a Lego waffle. I mean, so Lego my ego, go eat it. But this is, there are times where God's focus for you is to reload. He didn't give him a message to people. He didn't say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go march around Jericho. I want you to go build something over here. I want you to go straight to somebody and say this to him. No, just get up and eat. Get up and eat. He may even, what if God sent an angel to you that just said, relax. Just chill out. Just get some rest and stop worrying for a second. Stop thinking about Ahab and Jezebel. Just relax. You see, some of you can't even fathom God telling you that. You think God's going to tell you, lightning bolt because you failed me. Or no, you've got to work harder. Truth is, he had hard work ahead of him. But it was too much for him at this point. He needed to rest. He needed to eat. He needed to drink. God is not always going to send an angel to tell you to go. God is not always going to put someone in front of you for you to minister to. Sometimes he's going to put a big stop sign in front of you that says, chill out. What if God's message to you right now is to rest, eat, and drink? Remember in the overload that muscles are torn down. They're exhausted. They're depleted. They're shredded. They're inflamed. And then growth and strength happens in the reload. When you go through the overload, then growth and strength come to you in the reload. It's actually when you are asleep after the workout that your muscles grow. In fact, the deeper the sleep, the better the growth. Remember that every time you're in overload, if you are in an overload period right now, then you need to be looking for a reload time. And if you're coming out of a reload time, how about you go look for an overload? Make sense? Last verse here in chapter 19, verse 8. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah was strengthened from that one moment, from that interaction with an angel, from one night under a bush. He was strengthened, and it strengthened him how many days and nights? 40 days and nights. He received supernatural strength that lasted way longer than it should have. And it took him all the way up a mountain. Elijah's ministry was never the same after this night. If he would have missed this night, he would have been missing out on his ministry. Because his ministry changed forever this night. In fact, angelic visitation became a part of his ministry from this point on. Go check it out. Angels are everywhere. There's a place where his servant is looking out and sees a whole huge army, and the servant goes, Elijah, they're going to kill us. And Elijah says, God, open the eyes of my servant. God opens the eyes of his servant, and there's angels. An angel army is following Elijah around. That happened. That changed this night when he experienced the rest of the Lord, the reload of strength that came straight from God. Remember how Elijah felt in verse 3 and 4? He was afraid. He was suicidal. He was done, right? He prayed, God, kill me. He was at his lowest, but then God gave him a reload of strength. Remember how Elijah felt? Is that how you felt? Is that how you feel right now? God wants to give you a reload of strength. Raise your hand if you need to grow. Raise your hand if you understand in your life, I need to grow. All right, I love it. Every hand in this place is raised. You can put them down. There is an area of your life right now you need to grow. One of the most frustrating things in life is when someone doesn't understand that they need to grow. Now, that's frustrating. But there is an area of your life that you need to grow every moment that you live, and you've got to come to grips with that. You got to understand it. There is an area of your life right now that is stuck in a plateau. Every one of us, there's an area of life that is effort but no success. And God wants to break us out of every plateau. Do you believe that? God wants to break us out of every plateau. You either need an overload work or you need a reload rest. Are you with me? We're almost done. But I need to tell you, you either need an overload work where you are pumping out more effort and different effort, or you are in a period of, I'm going to chill out, I'm going to relax, and I'm going to receive peace, and I'm going to receive rest, and in this moment, I'm going to receive all the strength I need for the next situation, the next battle, the next struggle in front of me. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to talk to God. That's what we do. That's the three things we do every time we come together. We've worshiped together. We've received the word of God together. And we are going to talk to God together. I want you to prepare your heart to come. Come and give more effort, different effort. Pray at a deeper level and more intensity. Surrender in your worship today. Maybe you do something new today in this altar. And maybe you ask for prayer where you've never asked for prayer before. Maybe you pray with someone else in a way that you've never done before. Worship in a new way. Maybe the word fasting is a weird word for you. Pray about that. Maybe you start a fast this week and you go that way. Or maybe you're at a place where you've just come through an overload and it's time for you. You've been running on fumes. That you need a reload rest. I challenge you to come to this altar and let God minister peace and strength to you. I want to tell you real quick, all humanity was in a spiritual plateau from the Garden of Eden on. From the Garden of Eden on, all of humanity was in a spiritual plateau. We sinned in the garden, right? And we fell so far short of his glory. Then all man was in a plateau. And man worked really hard. Man gave a lot of effort through religion. They worked so hard to crawl themselves up through religion. But it would only go so far. They would try to do religious works and do good works to make God love them. But it would only go so far. They would do these things. They would, some people would even beat themselves with things. Am I sad enough? Or am I holy enough? Or maybe I need to make other people look worse than me. And then somehow that'll, but every effort man ever had spiritually ended up in a plateau. Ten Commandments, plateau. Every effort that we ever had. Because man was in a spiritual plateau. But then Jesus came. But then Jesus came. And Jesus, he fasted and prayed and he faced the devil and he beat him. Right. And this Jesus came and he defeated sin in the flesh. And then Jesus came and he drank from the cup in the garden. The cup of our sin he took on himself. And this Jesus, he really took an overload. It says that he bore all of our sorrows. Try to lift that in the weight room. He took the stripes of our punishment. all of our collective punishment, he took on himself. It says that he was treated worse than anyone else. He poured out all of his blood. And after all this effort, he died. And no one understood it. He died. He was buried. But then on that third day, he rose. And he busted the plateau forever. You see, every other man had experienced this, where they did their best, but they could only go so far, and they were buried in a tomb. Every person, the most righteous person that you've ever known, that you walked, your grandmother, you talk about Mother Teresa, or any person of respect that you really like, every single one of them did their best, but they could only go so far, and they ended up in the grave, everyone. But then Jesus came along, and he had an overload like no other overload. He lifted such a heavy load, no one else could ever do it. And he rose again, busting through a plateau. Why is this important? Because guess what? He also busted your plateau. That's why it's so important that he came in the flesh just like us. He was a man just like us. He is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he came and he broke through this plateau. Now the Bible says this crazy thing in Colossians 3:1. Now, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Wait, surely they made a mistake. That seems like past tense, doesn't it? It doesn't say you will one day be raised if you really work hard. No, it says right now that if you have a relationship with Jesus, through Jesus, you are raised right now with Jesus. So guess what? You don't have to wait for the trumpet to sound. Right now, you can break through every plateau. You were self-righteous, but now you can be holy. You tried to save yourself through weak works of the flesh, but now you're saved through grace. When? Now, right at this moment, you are dead in the flesh, but now you're alive in the Spirit, alive in the same Spirit that is the resurrection, so that you will never die. It says that you have passed from death to life. It says it in the past tense. It has already happened. Jesus has done everything for you to break through every plateau in your life. Anybody happy for the weight that he bore on the cross? Anybody happy? And what does he want to give you? He wants to give you rest. He wants to give you his strength. I want to tell you that the goodness of Jesus has broken every plateau in your life. If this is true, then you ought to expect when you come to this altar today to break through to new powerful things that you've never experienced. Why don't you come and try it out right now? Come and expect. God, I expect, because you have broken through the strongholds in my life, because you have broken through the barriers of my effectiveness, of anything I could do. Lord, I expect right now when I come that you're going to take me further right now in Jesus' name. Come, why don't you worship more intensely than you ever have before? Why don't you pray in a deeper way than you ever have before? Come on, ask Jesus Christ to break through your plateau right now. If you want special prayer in this place, I want you to come in the first 2 feet of this altar right now, and we will pray with you. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, we're just going to let you be, and you have a one-on-one talk with Jesus. We love that. Lord, Father, right now, I pray for everybody in the room, everybody listening and watching online. God, get a hold of our hearts right now. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I want you to break through every plateau. I want them to see it. I want them to receive it. I want them to worship at a new level because you've set them free to worship at a new level. God, I want them to pray in the Holy Spirit because, God, you have given them the Holy Spirit. God, I want you to give them that life, God. I want them to live that life, experience that life, because it is theirs, not just in the future. It is theirs right now in the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, church, let's talk to God. Break through that plateau. There is a limitless Jesus in this house. He has broken through every limit. Receive his limitless power right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church. Thank you.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.